Hello, friends. John and Amy here again.
Yes, Daily Awakenings.
So, we wanted to talk about the illusion of separation and how religions or institutions are embedded with separation, but we're really all a one world, you know? We're one. And, you know, you hear the conspiracy theorists talk about the one world government and all that as if, you know, anything one, when you talk about oneness, is bad. The truth of the matter is that we're one with Christ. We're one with Christ consciousness. And what that means is we're going to break it down. So for those of you that don't know, Amy and I grew up in Christianity and the institutional world of Christianity, meaning that there's denominations, 40 plus thousand denominations, and we were part of one of those denominations, well, a few of them actually over time. And we found out that coming out of it years ago, that just how much conditioning is happening, just like every other arena, but in the spiritual world, there's a lot of conditioning that you have to be unconditioned
from
later on.
Deconstructed.
Whatever you want to call it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when you think about oneness and love and matter and frequency and all of that, everything is really the frequency of love. Everything is love. It's just manifested in millions of different ways. Into matter, bodies, and
millions
deaths.
Of different people.
Yeah, and millions of different people. And so that's God's perspective. You know, for God so loved the world, the entirety of humanity. But in religions, it seems like we just have our four and no more. Mm-hmm. And if they don't do it our way, then
They're out. And so then they feel like they're out of God's love and they're totally rejected by God. And so then they dig deep into what they've learned in religion of it's just forbearing repentance and shame and guilt. And some people just bow further into the system. Other people leave and just go binge drink because of the shame and guilt so much. You know, it's just there's no fruit that comes out of a restricted religious construct, you know.
Yeah, because it's stuck in one level of consciousness.
Yeah, of ego.
Yeah, it's more based in egoic nature than anything else, because here's what it looks like. You have certain belief systems, whether it's a church, a synagogue, a mosque, whatever that religion is, they're all camped around a tradition or a book that says that it has to be this way. And if it's anything outside of this, then it's deception. And you're ousted, or you're ostracized, or you're rejected. And when you look at it from that standpoint, then, which is reality, then you're like, okay, this is a level of consciousness that is stuck in its box, whereas the reality is that the frequency that we're now in is way beyond that. It includes oneness. It encompasses the entire universe, because that's what we're in. And so when you have people that stand their ground and double down, like a lot of groups are doing right now, saying, well, this is truth, everything else is deception, then what you have is people that aren't keeping up with God's frequency of oneness.
Yeah, oneness and progression. You know, God didn't end at the blast cover and page in the Bible. He's always continuing forward. It's, you know, we're the message, how we live. You know, God said, you'll know my people by their love for one another, you know, and the fruits of the Spirit and all those things. Taste and see that he is good, that God is good, you know, through you and me. And it's a daily relationship. It's a daily life. It's not this religious protocol of man's emperors and trying to, you know, climb the ladder of religion. And
we want
it's just
king.
No different than the corporate system. And so it's just this 3D thinking. It's, you know, the king and the servant. There's just so many things. And some people that are in it, You know, they're completely oblivious to it. They're blind to it. They may have good hearts and good motives.
Yeah.
But they don't realize what they've swallowed into their souls and are a part of. And but when the Spirit of the Lord is strong in you and you've had relationship with God, and, you know, John had an encounter, and this is when it really sticks, is when you actually have your own encounter with God, to know he's real for you. And, you know, John did when he was young. You were, what, 26?
27.
27. That seems to be a big year of change.
It really is. There's something about that year that years ago we looked at. And it's that transitional point in your growth and along the spiritual journey of decision. And it's the power of decision. Like, you can go one way and it'll go really bad for you, or the other one, and you can just launch into a whole life meaning scenario. Anyway, the encounter, you know, changed my life.
Yeah, where you had parents that believed in God, and you know, you kind of grew up in the church system. See, and so here we go, grew up in the church system, but it really didn't stick.
Because it wasn't that real to me. It was all just tradition and the Bible and worship and stuff like that. But it didn't become real to me. And that's the issue. Is it real to you through genuine relational encounter? Or did you just have a set of rules and you went and did this traditional thing through repetition and routine?
A lot of hypocrisy.
And you saw a lot of hypocrisy, but you weren't converted. You didn't have this real transformational experience. And so then you see people online and social media, or maybe you're even your own family or friend structure, where they just say, "Matt, I'm leaving this Jesus guy because he no longer serves me." Well, anybody that would say that, you know, and this isn't a judgment, it's just reality, perhaps you haven't really met him or had the encounter, because once you do, your life is never the same.
Yeah.
Encountered love. It manifests in a body called Yeshua Jesus.
Yeah. Like these people that have near-death experiences, man, they come back so changed because they've encountered Jesus. They've encountered God, the angels, and the most incredible love that they can barely even describe. There's no words for it. Love, color, fragrances of heaven, you know.
So you're radically changed. Totally changed. Your whole perspective.
The whole reality.
Why? Because you've just run into oneness. And you're no longer separate in your thinking. We're not separate anyway, but a lot of the church world or traditional religion believes that there's a separation. That's why you have this begging thing going on and the incense swinging through and all these traditions that say we've got to do all these rituals in order to get closer to God or appease an angry God. And it couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is, you're already in love. You're in him, and you cannot pull yourself out of that. You can run from it in your mind, but the reality is it's still oneness.
Yeah. He placed his spirit within every single one of us. We came from the Father of lights. It says that, you know, and we all know. How come we can see where there's light in somebody's eyes and where there's just a real dim light in somebody's eyes? You know, it's just, it's to the degree you're opened up to God,
and
you know.
Your consciousness,
but yet the spirit is still in there, just as a seed, you know. And so you had this encounter. You were on a...
Well, I was, you know, some of you know the story, but I was running hard in the world, just doing the whole partying thing and all that, just not knowing where my life was going. And typical 20-something year old that just wanted to have fun, but then at the same time suffering because I didn't know where I was going in life. And, you know, that's what the world tells you. You got to make something out of yourself in your 20s or you're going to be floundering the rest of your life, you know. So anyway, I was at a party with some friends and somebody slipped something in my drink, like a drug. And then I went on this high for 3 days, didn't sleep for 3 days. And just really frightened because my heart was beating out of my chest. And literally, like, my shirt was flying up and down because my heart was just ready to explode.
You're going in and out of dimensions.
Yeah, and it was really frightening me. About the end of the third day, I was like, is this ever going to end? Should I go to the hospital? And I was staying with my parents at the time, and I didn't want to tell them. And so I laid down and I said, Jesus, you know, you've got to do something. You have to show yourself to me, or you know what this means. I feel like I'm on the precipice here. And I said, I just need an encounter. I don't know if I use those exact words, but I was just really meant it from my heart.
I need to know you're real.
I need to know you're real. And all of a sudden, it's like the whole side of the house and the ceiling opened up. And this wind came through. And I felt it. And I saw Jesus come through the ceiling and the side of the house in midair. And he comes right into my room. And he said, the voice just riveted all throughout my being. Just said, if you continue in your ways, you're going to suffer the consequences of your own actions. But if you give your life completely over to me, meaning love, you know, surrendering to love, because he's the embodiment of love, then I'll make something beautiful out of it. And immediately I went sober. My heart went back to normal. Everything became clear. And I went to sleep and I woke up a changed person. And then I started the journey from there. And everything, the colors were brighter, literally in the natural. Everything was shifted. I wanted to love people more than ever. I mean, it was a whole, what they call a born-again experience. Now, some people don't have it that radical, but I needed it because I was in a life-or-death situation. Some people, like Amy, mm-hmm. She didn't need it because she'd already had that relationship growing up. She had already been conversing and had it back and forth. And so some people don't necessarily need that.
Yeah, mine was...
That kind of encounter, you know? But hers was relational encounter. It was through relationship.
Yeah, it was simply... So I grew up in, Foursquare Christian religion. And I'm grateful. I learned a lot of great things. You know, it's very loving... church family. I mean, again, you know, there's a lot of great elements because it's people that there's people filtered all in there that have had their own relationship with God, and they're there because they're wanting to encourage other people that are waking up, you know. And so you do run into those that are awake within the religious system. And so I was learning, I was inspired by them. I grew up, I even going to school, I went to a Christian school, so I was pretty sheltered, I guess you could say, in that way. But it dawned on me one day when I was, I'd probably say 14, right around in there, and I'm like, man, I've grown up in the church, I've gone to school through the church, but do I really know God, like, personally? Like, do I really know the one I'm believing in, or am I just following everybody else kind of thing? And so one day I was up in my room, and I had a journal because I heard from a youth teacher that said it's important to have a journal with, you know, journal down your thoughts to God or what he says to you. So I had a journal, and I was just laying in my bed, and I just said, God, I'd really like to know you, like really know you. You know, are you there? And just started asking him questions. And all of a sudden I hear this still loving, gentle voice responding back to me. And like I'd always heard him. It was so natural. Like I'd always heard God. And I just had to open up and begin to ask, you know? And so I was like, oh, wow. And then I was having such amazing wisdom and counsel and advice coming through that I began to start writing it down, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to forget any of this. This is like true life wisdom here. And then I had a hunger, you know, to start reading the Bible, and just hungry to know God more through that way. But my real, I'd say just my real change happened from simply daily walking with God, just through journaling. I'd go sit out in the gardens and just sit in the sun and just talk. It was like relationship, and God began to just teach me how to daily live and move and walk life out, and that he wanted to do life with me. God the Father wanted to do life, and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the angels and our whole family, you know?
Yeah, so, now why is that? It's because of the innocence and the childlikeness of wanting to discover there's something more out there. Yeah. And I think where a lot of people, especially in that are seeking, just trying to do all these ritualistic things, and some religions even painful, they cut themselves and all this kind of stuff to try and appease a God that isn't demanding it.
Yes.
And it's like, once you know that the full, the expression, it's like full bursts that happen of love. You know what it feels like to fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it feels like to experience love in your heart. That's like a burst of overwhelming joy, or peace, and a combination of fun and adventure and all these things. Explosion. It's an explosion in your heart. Well, that comes from a source, and that source has a name, you know? And a lot of religions try to, you know, they call it different names. Even people say it's the universe, it's source. Some people say God, or a million other gods in places like India. But what are they all trying to do? What are we all trying to get here?
We're trying to describe what we're, you know, feeling. I mean, you can tell, you can feel his presence, you can feel God's presence. And I know some say, well, you know, don't put God in a him, maybe as a he or she, but I like to say, well, God is such a loving father with just this loving, nurturing, motherly nature.
That's,
I mean,
right.
He's all in one.
He's all things.
And so from my experience, that's what I've experienced. You know, I'd rather have relationship, you know, as our, with our parents, you know, outside of this earth dimension, but that are here with us, you know, versus just a God that's out in the middle of nowhere, that's so unreachable out in the universe, you know.
Yeah. It's within. Everything's within.
Because why else would we be created as relational beings? So I believe that God would want us to experience him in that relational form.
Yeah, and some just don't, you know, we're all awakening constantly. Mm-hmm. We're not the same person we were 5 seconds ago. And so if you're aware of that, then you won't be stuck in a traditional sense that says it has to look this way, taste this way, feel this way, look this way.
Or do all these
and
things.
And do all these rituals, do all of these traditions that leave Jesus, or leave the embodiment of love, ineffective.
Yeah, the Trinity.
Ineffective. And so when we disempower the very source within us that's saying, hey, I want to come to you in a way that's completely relational to you and me individually, but also show you the bigness of who I am to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stick ourselves in a box, when we keep ourselves in servitude, saying, well, you know, my pastor or my priest or my rabbi said, so therefore I have to do that.
Right.
What we're doing is we're playing off of their level of understanding and their paradigm, and it's limited. You guys, think about this. You can learn and glean from anybody or anything, right? In their own levels of whatever. However, when we look to a spiritual guru, a spiritual leader in human skin, they are flawed. Okay, we all are. We all are limited. We all are deceived to a degree.
We all have a level of understanding.
And we all have this level of understanding in our consciousness that says, okay, this is the way it has to be. I'm going to stand my ground. And anything outside of that is called deception. What does it do? It's based in fear. So we spread fear through separation.
Yeah.
And we segregate and separate ourselves even more so every moment of the day because, okay, after all, if you're not a Trump lover, or you're not a Biden lover, or you're not a political this or political of that, or you're not in our denomination, whatever the ideology is, whatever that belief system is, then we're fracturing and separating even more. And when the reality is that we are all one. If we would just see it.
And all family.
Yeah, if we would just see it through awareness, through that perspective, then we'd like, oh, okay, well, maybe I don't have to judge so much.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all one here, and we're just growing and maturing as one big family.
That's right.
Some are just, you know, still swimming around in complete darkness, of course. and some are more in the light than others, but it doesn't mean we're better than each other.
Yeah.
How the posture that would be great to hold is a person that allows God to make them one of no judgments and no preferences. And that's a challenge. I mean, that we're being challenged with that right now. And we're seeing just how much we've been conditioned to judge, conditioned to have preferences, yeah. Saying, oh, I don't like that person. I don't like the way they're talking. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they smell.
Right.
So I'm going to go over here.
And where is it? It's all rooted. It's rooted in fear. And this is the thing with religion is, you know, maybe a lot of these started off with good intentions and somebody that did have an encounter with God, but you get other people involved that didn't have an encounter with God. Now they're pulling on their reason and logic. They're pulling on their ego that's driven by fear and self-centeredness. And so now you've got this religious construct that is holding you hostage instead of the freedom that God intended for you with your free will to choose Him and to walk with God. And, you know, He's so gracious and knows that everybody is on their own path and different, you know, journeys. So how can we compare? If we all have different fingerprints, then we all have different journeys, and just allowing people to be on their own path with God is one of the best things ever. No preferences, no judgments. Allow them to be because God's got them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so good. And we were here listening to this guy talk about being fully in your frame.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that when you own who you are and all your intricacies and all your flaws and all of your quirkiness and whatever it is that makes up you. But when you own your frame, your body, your mind, your soul, your spirit, when you own that, your own authenticity, when you own that for yourself and stop trying to get it from other people or outside yourself, then what happens is you become even more of a threat because now you become confident in love, not in a bad way, but then you become this person that you were always meant to be in oneness, whereas before when you were in separate thinking, then you're embedded in fear and you're always trying to get it from outside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taught in religion to be fully in your frame, to be fully embodied in you is a bad thing because they label that as selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at religions, look at the church, look at the religions, and again, with no judgment, but it's reality. You see a lot of people not taking care of themselves physically, emotionally, and even spiritually.
Yeah. Or there's this victim it's,
yes, a mindset, lot of it is.
Slavery mindset. Oh, gosh. Again, it's just when you step outside of it, you see how much fear was operating in it all. Fear, trying to please God. Like, gosh, that was something huge we had to just totally dismantle and allow God to dismantle in us and bring us back to childlikeness is this thing because you're learning religious again, this Catholicism or penance, and I've got to please God, I've got to discipline myself, I need to be obedient, you know.
And, off of a few scriptures.
All this know? Just work, 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 shame, shame, shame. And God's like, I've already taken care of everything. I just want relationship. You don't have to please me. It's like even this morning, I was laying in bed and I just was having this conversation with God, I said, Lord, I go, why is it sometimes that you're always available. You're always available to talk with, and I can have as much as I want, you know, wisdom or revelation if I just come before you. I said, why do I still run away from you at times, or avoidance, or get distracted? And he said, it's because your ego feels inadequate and is still trying to impress me. And so when you feel like you can't impress me, like when you come to sit with me or these different things, then you run because you don't want to feel shame. And it's just this wrong thinking. And he's like, all I require is for you to come as a child and just show up with awe and wonder. He goes, remember, children are teachable.
That's
just
right.
Come and just be teachable, awe and wonder. And it's just such relief. And this is, when you hear God, he brings things to such simple terms. He's not complicated.
Really? That's
he's
so true.
Gentle and loving. And so if you're hearing shame and obligation and all these other things, it is not coming from God. That is either coming from a religious figure or a parental figure or your own ego shaming you, because it's not his nature.
Yeah, and there's a reason. If you really look at this for what it is, when a lot of people, not all, but a lot of people know what it feels like to be in love with somebody.
Yeah.
Like, not love them alone, but in love. There's a difference between the two. Like, I love you as a friend, but I'm really in love with you. What that means is you've come into the depth of oneness, and what it feels like in the core of this substance of love when you fall in love. They just, you know, it's just terminology. But you know what it feels like. And what does that feel like? It feels like you're a child again, a giddy. You know how people say, well, I feel like a teenager again. You get giddy. You say stupid things, you know, to yourself. You just say, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That was kind of dumb. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm doing. You're fumbling around. You're a mess. You're a wreck because all you can do is think about that person. But it feels so wonderful, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And what is that? That's like a child at play, fumbling around, making mistakes, saying things, you know, that are goofy, but it's childlike. And if you really look at it from that perspective, yeah. then you're what are you doing when you're falling in love? You're discovering something new about this person you never knew before. You're in awe and wonder, and you're on an adventure of a lifetime. And it's always, you remain teachable when you're in love.
Yeah. You know, Bruce Lipton, in one of his series on, I think it was on the Gaia channel or whatever, but he was pulling out that when somebody falls in love and they're in that honeymoon stage, that he said it's the most present. He goes, why it's such a high?
Yes.
You've got all these chemicals going off in your body. You know, you got dopamine, you have the...
oxytocin.
Yeah, let's get this.
It feels like that, right?
It's removing the pain, that's for sure. Anyway, but he said, you are the most present you'll ever be when you're in love. He goes, if you can just stay in that in love state with life, you will stay so present, and those chemicals in your body will keep releasing. And it was just powerful, you know, because we're designed for love. We're made for love. You know, Carolyn Leaf pulled out, you know, she's the brain specialist, pulled out how our brains are not wired for any negativity. We malfunction when we're in negativity, when we step out of love.
And why is that? Why do we go to the negative? Because we're living outside of the now. You only go negative. When you go outside of the present, in the past or the future.
Because, fear is driving the past or the future. Yeah, and I'm sure you guys have seen the brain scans, right? You've got one side of the brain that's just flourishing and green, representing love, and then the other side that's crossed over into negativity, which is now all black and it's deformed because your cells and everything firing are just... It's just not a good rewiring. But... you become like who you hang around. And so, you know, when you're hanging out with God, you can't help but come out of that treating others the way you've received that love from God. It becomes effortless. You know, it's not something you have to try. Oh, I got to try and love this person. I've got to try. When you open up to God and you just keep receiving his amazing unconditional love, his intentional love, it's now full in you, and it's easy to just walk around and see people with a whole different perception and love on them. It's not hard. It's a byproduct.
Yeah, and you guys, I just feel like I should say this, is that if this is really resonating with you, it means that you're it's time for change, right? And you're going, oh, yeah, I know this. I'm right there. Or this is really intriguing to me and it's really resonating with me. Then it's time for another awakening, right? But if this isn't resonating with you and you're like, well, I don't know about that, that's okay. Don't blow it off. Don't write it off quite yet. You're allowed to feel that way. And just come back to this when you feel the pull or the draw towards it or something like it for somebody else teaching. Here's why. Because God is really all of us right now. is really trying to pull us out of that old wineskin of conditioning.
Yeah,
or and when he draws you towards a teacher, draws you towards a message on YouTube, draws you towards something, and yet you're full of fear going, oh my gosh, am I going to get deceived? Am I going to get deceived? Am I going to get deceived? If you keep thinking that, it just means that's conditioning talking to you in fear, saying, I'm so afraid that I'm going to get deceived.
Yeah.
When in reality, love Jesus isn't going to lead you towards something, right, if you're feeling a prompt towards it, to deceive you. Exactly. It's to awaken you. But your mind, through conditioning, says, oh, man, if I listen, I'll be deceived. Now, yeah, we're not talking about going into full-blown darkness here. What we're talking about is being led outside the box of your own teacher structure, your own conditioning structure, that may not look, taste, or feel like what you've been used to for the last 30 years in your own church or your own religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about. Because Amy and I tell you this, we've gone out way outside of the box because we were led to,
mm-hmm,
and we listened to several people outside of that box that resonate with where we're at in our own awakening process.
Yeah.
And the church would look at that and say, I don't know about that. But it's very much God.
Right.
It's very much God.
He doesn't separate himself.
Yeah. And here's, real quickly, think about it from this perspective. Say you go to a restaurant or a movie or wherever. It doesn't matter. You go somewhere and you're experiencing something and it's new to you. And we do this all the time, but yet we don't say, well, you know, I went to that restaurant and I got deceived. It was new to me. You know,
I ate something I've never ate before,
and it wasn't in my church world. It wasn't in my little box. And some people get so afraid. We've been around people, my goodness, around leaders, pastors, fivefold ministry, which for those of you who don't know, it's labels, apostle, prophet, pastor,
evangelist,
teacher, and evangelist. So there are all these hierarchical structures in the church. And if they're embedded in separation and fear without even realizing it, they put fear, more fear, on their followers and say things like, you better not go to that meeting, you'll get deceived. You better not go to that conference over there because they don't believe like we do, or they're full of darkness or whatever. You know, you hear it all. And it has people so afraid that they will stay with their hamburger helper. And they won't venture out to organic, raw, vegan foods or Thai food. Or
to nature, to something organically, naturally grown,
exactly,
you know, that originated by God tending to it.
Yeah, and again, you guys.
But it didn't have a brand label on it, so they couldn't trust it.
Yeah. So again, some of you may be thinking, well, there is such thing as deception. And we could get deceived, John and Amy. We could get deceived. Well, if you believe that you will, then you already open yourself up to it.
You're already looking for it.
You're looking for it, and it's going to be a magnetic match.
Instead of looking for the truth. Here's the gauge, right? Here's the two gauges. You know, Jesus said the truth will set you free. So if what you're listening to is setting you free, well, there you go. There's your sign. You know, it will resonate inside you. You will feel the blinders come off. You'll feel enlightened. You'll feel the light flooding in. Truth sets you free wherever it's coming from. We can't limit God to a small little box. He loves all of humanity, and he loves the whole world, and he has hidden his mysteries and truths and everything. What does it say in Proverbs? God has hidden his mysteries, and it's the glory of the kings to seek them out. And so, you know, we're sons and daughters of the King of God, and it's our glory to seek them out.
Yeah, everybody is. They just don't, some just don't know it.
Yes, we all came. Were they created from anyone else? We all came from God. You know, we're all royalty. We're all just on different journeys and stages in life, learning our life lessons. We're here in Earth School, learning how to love, learning how to develop and mature and grow. And so, yeah.
Remember the story about the Satanist, the guy that in South Africa?
Oh, this is amazing. Just, this is a testimony that just came out not too long ago. I don't know if it's posted on YouTube yet.
I think it's all over the internet now. But it's a guy that's the head. It was like the head of the Satanic Church in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was doing his thing and, you know, making followers and doing all their rituals and seances and all that.
Yeah, well, and he was doing a speech. He was getting interviewed or something, and he was kind of mocking Jesus, you know. He's like, I don't believe in God and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so anyway, there was a Christian woman that was in the audience, and she came up to him afterwards and just gave him the biggest hug, just full of love. And he said, he's telling the people interviewing him now, he goes, I've never in my life experienced love like that.
And all she did was hug him. That she didn't have a motive, an agenda, or anything. She just felt like, I want to just hug this guy.
And later he found out she was a Christian, you know, and he's gay. And so, you know, he's thinking, man, I've broken all the rules, you know, of religion. And so he ends up having this encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
It totally rocks him. And so he...
outside of religion, you guys. Yeah. Outside of it.
And he has been journaling now all kinds of conversations with God, right? And just...
Over a hug.
Putting one together hug. A book. And yeah, the power of love. Power of love. It's the same with the story of the shack, right? You know, Paul Young. And how what triggered him with having Papa be the black woman was when he was going through his affair in real life and hating himself, wanted to end his life. There was a black woman in his church. The whole church, you know, ostracized him and everything, but this one black woman that just showed him love and mercy and forgiveness. And he said, I saw Papa God through her. And so when he did the movie in the book, he had Papa play the loving black woman. Yeah, motherly loving nature, right? And then you see through the story where, you know, they're kind of explaining it, and then at the end, God shows up as a father figure. And before that, he's like, well, why are you a woman, God? You know, why? And then she said, because you can't handle me as a father right now because of his father wound. And wow, so it's like, God is so amazing. He's so gracious. He knows right where to meet you, you know, and in that just loving nature of what you need. And so, but anyway.
Yeah. And so this really goes, lends to this whole idea where, you know, and people just, it really, truthfully, it's just not a knowing. Where people just say, okay, well, it's some, you know, source out there or some universe or whatever you want to call it. You hear
distant.
You hear a lot of spiritual teachers say that.
Which is, you know, it's we can't get caught up on, you know, names and labels. But what's the energy and spirit? What do you sense the presence of God?
Yeah, and when you rule out, this is where I was going was, when you have a family structure of mother, father, family, okay?
And siblings,
when you have, you know, it's procreation, it's, you know, the woman gets pregnant through the man, and you have this family. So you have a dad and a mom, usually, and it's nothing, it's no judgment towards anything else, okay? We're just giving an example here. When you have that kind of structure and then dads are gone by the droves, they're nowhere present in their family's lives and for various reasons. And again, no judgment there either, because a lot of people get a bad rap by the man not being around. Well, it could be that he's not allowed to be, you know, so that's another subject. Where I'm going is you have this man that's removed from the home, and it's really causing a lot of devastation. You see it across the landscape of the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go back to looking at this from that perspective, as in the natural, so is in the heavens, or in the heavens, so is in the natural, it's a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear people talk about God as a father, that can be highly offensive to some, because they're like, well, my dad was never around, and he was a jerk or whatever.
Right. So it's a trigger. Or you grown up in Catholic and Catholicism, and the priests were called fathers and you were abused by a priest.
Exactly.
So that whole term messes with you, right?
So we understand that to a degree, you know. But however, it's like we really feel like, you know, if that's the case, that he's father, mother, and he can be all things to all people.
Yeah.
But where did this idea come from in his heart about the family structure, about father, mother, kids, in order to populate the earth, right? Where did that idea come from? Well, it came from the heart of love as a father.
Yeah.
That's just how we see it.
Well, even Jesus said, you know, I'm the firstborn among many, and you're, you know, the brother. And
that's just how we see it, because it, we know that to be true through experiential relationship. We know that to be true. However, some people that just say, oh, it's just a universe, or it's just a source,
it
doesn't mean that you can't glean from the truths. This is where I'm, what I'm getting at. You can't, it doesn't mean you can't glean from the truths if somebody's talking that way. And, you know, remember, we're all at different levels of understanding, and ours is opening up more and more and more through movies like The Shack, or through different expressions, right? So whenever we get stuck and say, oh, God could never play a woman, what are you talking about? And a lot of people in religion got so offended by that. And I remember when we first read The Shack, we were like, oh, yeah, I don't know. But that was through conditioning. The moment we stopped when we saw a black woman as played as portrayed as God, because we didn't know the fullness of that story, we were like, oh, I don't know, I don't know. But then we kept reading because we knew better. We knew to say, okay, wait a minute. We love the story so far.
And
let's continue. Let's continue. And that's what I'm getting at, is when you hear spiritual teachers say universe or God
or
new, quote, new age terminology. Well, you listen and watch rated R movies all the time with the F-bombs. It doesn't stop you sometimes, right, from watching it. Well, if just because they say universe,
which one's worse?
Exactly. Huh. It's like, and what we're getting at is we make all these judgments
because of fear
so and separation.
Instead of listening to the intention in the heart, and if you know God's voice, it's like the whole saying: a rose is a rose, no matter what name is labeled, it's still a rose, because the fragrance remains the same. So you can smell the fragrance and you can hear the vibration and sound of God coming through when somebody is sharing about their relationship with source or the divine or the universe. Just smell the fragrance, listen to the tone. Is it love? Is it God? Do you recognize him? You know, again, a rose under any other name is still a rose. And
yeah, and so we just know it to be what we know it to be right now. And so for us, obviously, you've been listening to this, or you know us, or, you know, Jesus has made himself real to us. And we found that he's the embodiment of love. We found that he is the founder and creator of all. Some people wouldn't even think that way. Some people would never think that way. And that's okay, because love waits. And love awakens, and love gives layers, and love opens up, and you begin to see fuller and more so. And so some of you that have moved beyond Jesus, you would look at us potentially and say, oh, they just haven't evolved yet. When they evolve past Jesus, then they're kind of come into this oneness thing, and they're going to start calling them universe and source. Well, when you're in love, I just say this, when you're, and no judgment again, but when you're in love with somebody, you don't need to look any further. Now, when you're in love with someone that holds it all in his hands, as we know him to be, then you don't need to look outside of that, because everything is within that. The Christ consciousness, being one with Christ, means that there are so many facets that would take eons, eternity to discover. And so when you're in love with, and you know that that's to be truth, then that, let that truth lead you. And so some people say, well, you're going to evolve past all that because you evolved past the church, you're going to evolve past Jesus. And I'm saying, and we're both saying, well, what else is there? If it, that's the embodiment of love, why would you need to go outside of that?
And he's your brother. Why would you want to move past your own brother? And, you know, this is a, you know, I call you friends, you're my brothers and sisters, and, you know, greater things will you do that I have done, you know? I mean, it's just,
And having said that, we're not going to point the finger like we used to. I'll just speak about myself. And say, you're wrong because you said that to me. I'm judging you for saying you're going to move beyond Jesus. No, I'm going to let you have your journey. I'm going to just shine the light of Christ. I'm going to allow the light to shine. I'm going to move in love and act in love. And that's my journey. And if that affects you in a positive way, wonderful. But who am I to point the finger and say, you just said to move beyond Jesus. Hey, look, that's between you and him, right? Or your label of universe, whatever you want to call that.
And sometimes
that's between you and him. It's not up to me to go and rescue you, to say you're wrong and you need to come out of that deception. That's not my job.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, God will allow you to go on that path and journey because things are circular.
Yeah.
And to where you swing out and you taste that and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I am not God. Maybe, yeah, you know, and that I still do love Jesus and I don't want to lose that relationship. And it's like you do a full circle. It's the contrast. So there's grace when you step outside, you know, of different beliefs, and God is right there with you on the journey still. And it brings the knowing where before maybe it had just been a belief for you. And so you're choosing a different path. You're trying these different things out. You're trying different religions out. You're trying all this different stuff. And then you circle right back around to the core and you're like, wow, okay, God, now I've got some major contrast and I know that I know that I know you're real. And I know that I love Jesus and he's like my best friend and I miss you. And you just come back into a whole new love and relationship with him. And, you know, John and I, again, it goes back to encounters for us with Jesus. We've both experienced Jesus and we can describe him, and our descriptions of him are so similar in the personality. Yep. You know, that Jesus, he's hilarious, he is witty, he is so loving, and when he's teaching you, it is in the most non-judgmental way, yet so smart and wise and loving, and he lets you kind of come to your conclusion.
That's right.
And
that's why he always asks questions.
He's the best of the best. It's like, why would you ever want to, you know, not know him? So I mean, it's
And it is true. I mean, just read her books, Papa's Living Room, or mine, Effortless Provision, to get more of an idea of what that personality is like. However, that's how he is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a little different with you, but we found he is the lighthearted, fun-loving, serious sometimes. Yes, of course. But he's well-rounded. It's love embodiment.
And
it's
relaxed.
Embodiment of love.
He's always relaxed.
Yeah. So what I was seeing while Amy was sharing was somebody saying, yeah, but you guys, we're supposed to warn and rebuke and correct those that have been led astray. Well, let me just say this about that. If we have been conditioned to the point to where we believe that it's all about rebuking and correcting and judgment because you're the prophet,
and our responsibility to
our responsibility as a quote prophet is to point the finger and call people back from darkness and look between right versus wrong. If you really look at this from, again, from a 30,000 foot view level within yourself, from a God perspective, you don't know the full picture. And many in that whole community talk a lot about, well, we see in part, we prophesy in part because we don't know everything. Well, if we apply that to every individual on the planet, then we'll say, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't be so quick to point the finger and warn and rebuke and correct when I don't know the full picture.
Yeah.
And see, this is the issue. The timing.
To say anything.
Exactly. It's like this. Have you ever walked up on a conversation and somebody said something and you immediately knew, you thought you knew what they were talking about, and then you interject and you go, oh, well, yeah, no, that's not true. And then they're like, we were talking about our auntie. And you're talking about our dad? What's going on here? You walked up on a conversation that you don't know
out
the fullness
of. Right.
And so We do that a lot through our conditioning. And we've been so conditioned through childhood trauma, through religious stuff.
Or the need to feel respected or appreciated.
Yeah, or be the rescuer.
Be the hero.
We know of a situation right now, without giving names, of somebody that we know that is trying to get this guy to convert this guy to their way of thinking and been spending decades doing it to be good enough for them, or to say, hey, I'm not a threat, like the golden retriever. I'm not a threat. I promise I won't pee on the floor. I won't tear things up. I won't take the toilet paper roll and chew it up. I just please don't get rid of me. Please just love me. Just love me. Just love me. And it's like, whoa, okay, you're giving your power away. Remember I was talking about being fully in your frame? Giving your power away because you really don't know who you are. And so just saying that in general, we've all been there, okay? There's not judgment towards this person or anyone else. I'm just saying it's a challenge because we've all been there, and then they have to discover it. We all have to discover it on our own without people pointing the finger and trying to change
us. If they're not asking for it, they're not open, you know? It's just like you can't pick an unripe fruit from a tree. There's a reason why it's holding on. It's not ready to come off, you know? And here's just another really quick thing before we close here. Is about, we heard something else that was just amazing about being fed up. And about, you know, somebody has to be to that point when they're ready to change. And there's nothing you can say or do that will convince them otherwise. And it's important because, so like a caterpillar, it has to be completely, the term fed up, has to be completely full and plump and fat and done and ready in order for it to make it through the whole transformation of the cocoon and liquefying and changing its DNA to come out the other side as a butterfly. It has to be fed up, done to the full. And this is the same with us as humans in life. We have to be fed up to the full to make it through to the other side. Otherwise, we'll just keep going back, playing the game, right? And so whether you just been wanting somebody to change, your siblings, your friends, your loved ones, they have to be fed up to make it through on the other side.
Yeah, so, and remember, there's only one way in. There's only one way in to become a butterfly. There's not a million different ways through this process. There's only one way in to put the ego in its place where it needs to be.
Yep, be fed up.
And be fed up and just say, okay, I'm going in. I'm going in to liquefy. Liquefy and become frequency and energy in order to come out as matter of the butterfly. Yeah. Butterfly matter.
Whole new DNA. Can you believe that, you guys? They get a whole new DNA.
Whole new.
And just totally transformed. It's just amazing. God puts the secrets in creation all over. I mean, you can just sit in creation and have your whole, you know, just life messages coming forth. And, you know, even God said, look to creation. All creation is speaking of who I am. So this is why the limits are so coming off. And we're moving out of this 3D state, low-lying density. And we're getting freed up. It's just such an exciting time to be in. So, you know, don't lose heart. You don't have to fear what's happening. Just keep surrendering. You know, there's just these amazing mottos coming out right now. Relax and release, right? Relax, release, and receive. And
it's completely opposite of what religion tells us or shows us to do, because that's all effort. That's all penance.
Religion, yeah. Buckle down, double up, stiffen your neck. Don't.
Crying out to a God that's a million miles away when we're one with him inside. And so when we're one with and we believe in and we trust the oneness of who we are one with, love, then we know that love carries us rather than us trying to cry outside of ourselves for him to manifest something. It's if we all awaken to realize, which we are, we don't have to do this through effort. We just present ourselves every day, every morning, just present ourselves. Then this awakening happens to the degree where you start to see, okay, it's not outside of me. The answers are not outside of me.
And God's never left you. I mean, we may, you know, leave in our minds and our, you know, because we have a free will. But he's always there, you know. God's always there. It's just a simple, asking and inviting him into your daily life, you know, and just
He's already there, but inviting, meeting.
Inviting the conversation.
Yeah, the conversation, you know, just say, is really, it's of all about honesty. Receiving.
Yeah.
And awakening that way. So anyway, okay, that was a lot for this message, but hey, it's all good. We wanted to give you a little bit more of a snapshot of kind of the journey we went through in religion and just our relationship.
Yeah.
And to see it from maybe a different perspective. And if you got some nuggets out of it, great. If not, come back to it when you feel led to. That's what's so beautiful about messages that are online, podcasts or YouTube, whatever, is that we can come back to something and chew on it.
Yeah.
So anyway, we love you guys, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.